The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
There you go. Hi.
I thought I already clicked that earlier. Yeah, I thought I was computers. Prepared too, and then I went to turn the camera on, and I had no memory card in it. It wasn't measured right. It wasn't. Yeah.
Oh man, one of those mornings, huh?
No, it's just I always just think I'm more ready than I am.
Yeah, well, that's same. I'm the same way. When are we ever truly ready? Really?
I'm not ready for next weekend.
I was going to say, welcome to the pre-Forbidden Fantasy show of The Drop here.
Yeah, my anxiety has not kicked in yet, which is strange. So it's either like just going too smooth or I'm just over I get really bad anxiety around the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a big thing. It's a big thing, but it's not a big thing because, I mean, it's not like Lake Paris big, you know?
Then that's where my anxiety comes from.
Oh, it's PTSD, basically.
Big time.
Okay.
All right. I'm waiting for the phone call from to Avi saying we can't have it. I'm waiting for the phone call saying, there's construction on the grass. I'm waiting for the devastation.
Right.
And
was there ever devastation at Lake Paris that brought you to this point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. When the cops shut it down.
Oh, that was it. That was the moment.
That kind of changed. There was one where the security company that we hired, beat up one of our own staff.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like every
what was the scenario there?
The scenario there was the security company was just a bunch of like
meatheads.
Yeah, rent-a-cop type people, you know what I mean? Like just waiting for something to happen, and like
meatheads.
The second something happened, it was a guy in a bright yellow shirt that said staff, and he was trying to drive his car to the office, and they're like, "No driving." And he's like, "Well, I'm staff," and they're like, "No driving." So he started driving, and they basically used that as like a thing to pull him out of his car. And like,
dang.
So like, though, ever since we started throwing the show, I'm just like, I tell Paris, I tell everyone, I'm like, look, nothing's going to happen. All these people here are like, we know them. There's not going to be anything crazy. And then the one year that there was something crazy that, you know, that even though we had it under control, like, it was, yeah. So I just,
but it was more like kind of like the law enforcement security kind of like made the problem worse kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, and I can see it from their eyeballs, not the rent-a-cop people, but the real cop people. When that happened, it was two police officers that we had to hire just to stroll around. They see probably 1,000 people around this thing. And yeah. So they're like, this is about to get really bad.
I could see that. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But then the problem is they put out a radio thing, you know, saying we're at the Lake Paris Fairgrounds. There's only two of us here. There's 5,000 people here about to get crazy. And then that call went from San Diego to Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah. Like it was like this crazy thing, and like they showed up, SWAT shields marching in, and then nothing happened.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, to be fair, like you can see that, like it's a massive amount of people, and I've been in situations like that, you know, at different, like, you know, car shows or like concerts or, you know, shows and stuff. Like I could see that. It could be intimidating.
You're real close to losing all control.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? But in reality, it wasn't a bad situation. It was just a fight. The people were surrounded. We escorted the vehicle out. But, you know.
Who was it?
It wasn't a club. It was just some people.
Oh, okay.
And
it's always those kind of people who get rowdy, the most rowdiest when they're not like in a club. Like, I'm just gonna say that they're not in a club. They're not really in the scene. They just sort of roll up. You know, it's a show that they're gonna go to. Mm. And it always seems to be that way.
Yeah.
Locals, like when we're at a run.
A lot of times it's locals or non-club people, and then they antagonize someone in a club. And then the whole club is like, oh, no, that's our guy.
That makes a ton of sense.
And then it happens. But yeah, you know, there was no metal detectors at Paris. Like, there was everyone there probably had guns. It's Paris, California.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like, you know, it's always been kind of a funny thing about like the security checking in cars at shows, you know. Some are a little more harsher than others. I came in at the very, 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 very tail end of the whole Paris thing. I mean, I attended the show for all those years.
Yeah.
But being on the other side of it, I only did that 1 year, so I got a very small taste of it. Mm-hmm. But I could imagine, you know, like, you know, I don't know. What was the Forbidden Fantasy show like? A little more strict on checking cars, a little more lenient.
So we always did the first year we were at Paris, we only rented the carnival lot, which is just off to the side. Mm-hmm. Then we rented the entire area. Every year they kept on adding more things we had to do. And then I remember the 1 year they said, well, we're going to have, you need to hire security. And they need to check the cars. I said, well, I don't want...
Oh, like outside security?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, well, I don't want security rummaging through people's cars, opening their doors and all that stuff.
Right.
So I said, you can have... We'll have a security guard standing there while we do it.
Okay.
And so I remember the first year we did that, we had so much alcohol that we took. I mean, we had a truck parked there and it was overflowing with the alcohol that we had to take from people.
That's hilarious.
You know, because they were just coming in, and if you hit it really well, we weren't gonna like take it. But if it's just sitting in your back, if you're just sitting in your back seat, that we're gonna take it because the security guard's right there, and that's his job was to do that. So funny. Then the next year, we barely got anything because everyone was hiding it better.
Right. Speaker boxes.
Yeah.
Like little cubbies, compartments, and everything. Yeah. I remember all that.
So I forgot where I was going with that.
Like the security, like my question was like the Forbidden Fantasy show more lenient on checking than other shows, that kind of scenario.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, other shows now, if you're a spectator, you're usually walking through, you know, metal detectors, depending on the venue, really.
Right. And that's another thing I never really get to experience because we kind of like exist in this thing where we're vendors a lot of the time and kind of like have a different, you know, way going into shows. I don't think I've ever really experienced actually being like a spectator going through that stuff.
Yeah. I remember Scraping the Coast was one where there's so many spectators. And I remember walking by on Saturday morning, walking by the spectator entrance. And there's like 24 metal detectors and these lines and there's crowds. And I'm just
looks like a concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, we were really lenient because it was us doing the most of the security detail. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then at the Avi, they have their own security. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I got a couple of messages. Hey, man, is there going to be security overnight in the showgrounds? I'm like, yeah. It's a hotel casino. They're secure 24/7 security. He goes, yeah, but in the parking lot. And I go, if I tell you no, where are you going to park your car?
Right. Are you not going to come?
Are you going to park in the parking lot? Are you going to park in the parking structure? Because it's the exact same as parking it in the show.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's probably safer in the show because it's actually like fenced off.
Exactly. That's what I said. I was like, bro, it's safer in the show than anywhere else. Security's not going to stand by your truck 24/7.
Right.
You know, but they're what he said something about valet. And I'm like, if they valet your car, it goes into the parking structure.
Right.
No one's standing by your car in the parking structure. So,
yeah,
you know, you're going to, you take your truck to the grocery store, it's the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I forgot where I was gonna go with that, but yeah, getting ready for the show, do you find yourself, you say you're anxious right now, not right now, but you're getting there. Well, at what point do you just like, everything's fine? Is it Sunday? Everything's
Sunday
fine?
Morning.
Sunday morning, everything's over.
And it's like, yeah, because like I like we it's a pre-reg only show, so we have everyone's money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at all this money and I'm going, okay, I can't do anything with this money until Sunday morning.
Right.
Not that we do any much with the money anyways, but there's, it's just like, it's just sitting there. And it, I mm-hmm. feel like it's not my money. It's not our business money. It's not our club money until the show's over with.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. We don't know really what's going to happen, but yeah. I mean, like time has proven, you know, everything's probably going to be fine, you know, back to the whole like alcohol thing, like the whole vibe, obviously the whole vibe is different at the Avi, mm-hmm. you know, and even that like is different. I think as we get older and we chill out and everything, because like now we're not like. When you're young, you're like, I got to sneak this beer in because I don't want to like either buy beer there or there's no beer or whatever. And now it's just like, it's fine. They sell beer there. They sell drinks. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's and most of the people that are there are not most. I'd say 80% of the people that are there are hotel guests. So you can bring
your staying at
the Avi. So like I remember the first year, it was the first year or the second year at the Avi, and the management came up to me and they're like, hey, there's a lot of people with ice chests here. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you know, like we don't want people with just willy-nilly with their alcohol, basically. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, when on a normal day, like Wednesday, I said, if a hotel guest comes in, checks in, and then they bring their ice chest down and sitting on the grass area or sitting on the beach, I'm like, do you tell them they're not allowed to bring their cooler? And he goes, no, I'm all, this is the same thing,
right?
These exactly. are your hotel guests. So do you want people to have a wristband on that are hotel guests, and then they're the only ones that are allowed to be have an ice chest? Because I guarantee you no one's parking outside of your hotel and walking through your casino with an ice chest,
right? Yeah,
you know, these are hotel guests.
Yeah.
So I said I don't want to be that person. I said, but this is the reason we left Paris. We left Paris because they kept on pushing rules and rules. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if you guys are just going to keep on pushing rules and rules, we just won't have the show. So the decision's up to you guys.
Yeah. And they changed their
yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I never want to be that person that tries to like pull rank or like, mm-hmm. we're here. Like your benefit is us. Like the Avi is not going to close if we don't have our show. You
right.
know?
Exactly.
They could just be like, yeah, don't have it.
But also, you know, like you said, they're hotel guests, they're customers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and again, they wouldn't do that to a normal, you know, customer.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for them though, like, but then again, like they throw, this is not the only show that they throw at the Avi. They throw other shows. So they're used to it. Cause I could say, oh, well, you know, it is a little intimidating when there's cars everywhere and people walking around, but this is something they do all the time.
And that's the best part about the Avi and doing something at a hotel casino thing, because they're used to the crowds. So it's not a surprise to them. Whereas like if you host it, if a venue that's not used to crowds, we'll say just a parking lot or whatever, and they see all these people, they kind of get, they might get nervous.
Well, it's the same thing like the Paris and when it got out of control with the security guards. Yeah. Like it can be intimidating for some people.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I tell people. They're like, hey, can we do this? And I'm like, you can do whatever you want until they tell you you can't.
Right. Right.
Because we're not the security at the Avi. They're the security. So if you do something wrong, which people have, and they have gotten ticketed, they have gotten pulled out of their room and kicked out of the venue and banned from the Avi.
I had no idea that happened.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, that's what I tell people. I'm like, if you go and you mess up, like at Lake Paris Fairgrounds, let's say you went in and you damaged something. Well, that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to like do, but if you go into the Avi and you damage something, like you're just going to get kicked out from them.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, there has been a couple instances over the years, but you know, I think for the majority of the time that everything's been pretty cool and everybody's been pretty chill, you know, it's just a real chill, fun time. I'm really looking forward to it this weekend, Laughlin, Nevada, the Avi.
When are you getting there?
Thursday.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm getting there Thursday. There was some question on time, but we worked that out. Angie has a softball games on Sunday, so we're going to take two cars, and she's going to probably bounce early.
Okay.
But I'm all set, dude. I'm super, super excited. I've been on it these past couple weeks picking up. I did a lot of printing earlier this year, like we've discussed before, but I was like missing a couple things. So I did some like kids prints and stuff. So, but I'm pretty ready.
Cool.
I'm pretty ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Well,
cause you got to be ready two ways.
and I have to be ready early because people are flying into Phoenix. Like Tony Newman flies into Phoenix Sunday.
Right.
And then I'm picking him at the airport, and then we're going to go mess around on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shingo and all them are coming on Wednesday.
Oh, they're coming to Phoenix?
Yeah. They're coming out here.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah.
So,
oh, that's rad.
So, like, we're going to be messing around on Wednesday. So, like,
man, maybe I should come out there this weekend.
So, like, I have, Tony's staying. Isn't he staying with you?
I don't know. He mentioned one thing and then never mentioned it again.
It's so funny because he said, I talked to him on the phone and he was like, so he bought a truck and it's out here. And Mike Pruitt has it at his shop to do some work on it. And he's like, man, Mike is just the worst at communicating. And now he was like, he's like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going to stay when I'm out there. He's like, Frank said I could stay with him. I was like, yeah, you're going to be your best bet is just to stay.
Yeah, there. Probably.
You know,
it is a little bit of a drive. Alan's shop is about an hour away.
Yeah, that's
little,
what I told
little
him.
Over an hour away.
Yeah, I said depending on when you leave for. I said if you can wait for traffic, you can make it to Alan's in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah,
I said if there's no traffic, but,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's and all this. So I have to be basically done by Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
ready to leave for the show.
Wow, just because you have all this other stuff.
All this other stuff. So like, I'm gonna. I've been doing the floors in the trailer. That's been.
That's what I was gonna talk about that next. Yeah. You've been a trailer mechanic for the past few days.
It's been longer than
that.
Well, so I pulled all the floors. And we have a 24-foot enclosed trailer, and I pulled all the floors out of it because they were just cheap wood, and there was holes in it from years of cars falling through it, and just the
Brents
and many more. Even my Tacoma last year was like wanting to fall through the trailer. So I
oh,
was
really?
Like, there was like plywood, other wood on top of wood. It was real bad.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, you know what? I just need to. So I ripped all the floors out. And then this was last week. And then I'm looking at stuff. Don't ever rip the floors out of your enclosed trailer because you're going to get scared.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask you. What was Panda exactly fixing down there?
There wasn't anything to fix. It was just me looking. It's just the way that they build these trailers is insanely cheap.
Oh, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. And you look at it and you're like, this is supposed to hold a car.
Right.
There's no way. I'm standing on stuff and it's bending.
Oh, wow.
But when you do the math and you put the wood on top of all these metal rails and mm-hmm. it just, you know what I mean? And it,
yeah,
the weight like, spreads out.
I don't know if it's considered shear when it's on the floor, but yeah, that's like on a house is you put paneling up and the way you nail it gives it a certain amount of strength, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I would imagine so, the same scenario works on the floor as well.
Yeah, it's literally just math. Mm-hmm. So but there was a couple spots like where the trailer where the frame runs up towards the tongue and then it bends in for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where it's bent, they just cut the angle and bent the angle.
Oh, really?
So there was like gaps at the bottom and I was like, uh-huh. Man, I mean, we've had it for 15 years but it's never really held super heavy weight for long periods of time. So mm-hmm. all I'm thinking, if there's a vehicle in this and boost stuff in this and it's bouncing down the road on
it
a 2,000 mile trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was like, so I took it down to Panda's and I had him just make some little gussets. And then where the D rings are, I had him put some 1x1 and just strengthen a couple things up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought it. Then I had to get the cables that go up. One of them has been broke for years. So I got that.
You said replaced. Gables or cables?
Cables.
Cables. What cables?
The back.
Oh, door. For the door.
Yeah.
The door. Okay. Uh-huh.
There's two cables that go up to like a garage type spring.
Yeah.
Well, that there's only been one cable on there for, I don't know how long. And so I got that fixed. And then I went and got all the wood. And then I've been working on the floors. So I'm going to finish the floors today.
How did your neighbors, like your HOA and your neighbors, were cool with that? Or like, or you?
I mean, it's not
just
making a bunch of noise. It's just a, You know what I mean?
But I mean, just like, because, you know, your HOA kind of tripped when my trailer was there for a couple days. Now there's this giant trailer there.
It doesn't matter what trailer it is. Like, if you have a trailer, you can't keep it on the street in the same place for, like, I think it's 48 hours.
Oh, so you've just been
moving
it? Or?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just, it's just.
You're going to find out.
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to give me, they just send you a warning. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, you can't do this. And then you just, it's not like I'm going to leave it there all week. Like, I'm going to be finished with it today. I'll take it down to the storage, and then I'll pick it up on Tuesday, probably. And then, yeah.
Trailers always get so neglected. They always get so neglected. Like, we put so much money into these trucks and cars and vehicles that are built, and then we throw them on the most sketchiest freaking trailers ever, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not like, I don't think anybody does it on purpose. It's just one of those things you don't think about. But then if you do think about it, you're like, maybe we should really take care of these vehicles are going.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, you see it every year when people are going, like, you'll see it on Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. People are blowing trailer tires.
Yeah, wheel bearings.
Yep. Yeah, no one takes care of it. So, like, you should every year get your trailer serviced.
Oh, yeah. My local tire shop charges $65 an axle to pull the wheel off, to pull the bearings out, repack them, and put them on.
Yeah.
So on my single trailer, it's a $65 insurance policy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically. And you use your trailer a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's so worth it. It's because imagine being, you know, we've experienced it almost.
We have.
You know, well, we experienced it with Doug's trailer. And that wasn't necessarily a trailer problem. That was more of just a bad problem altogether.
Right. Well, even my trailer, when we bent the axles on it.
Yeah.
The axle.
And we knew about that 2 years before that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Joe was like, I think that something's wrong with that. And it's like,
that was the same year. Cause now that I think about it, that was on the way back from LST is when he said that. And then the axle, it totally went to crap on the way to Mininats.
Well, no, it was the same on the way to Mininats.
No,
that's
your trailer
this axle on the way home from LST
was cambered out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we rehooked it back up, and then went out to North Carolina, which is crazy.
It just goes to show you that they're even broken; they'll still work.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It is just a set of tires on an axle. Like, there's not too much going on.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's the time. Like that to me, that's the biggest thing. Is like, you could have problems and there are easy fixes in reality, but the time it takes to do it, or even the inconvenience of, like, even if, like, blowing out a tire, you still have to pull over and change the tire. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I'd rather, you know, do the little bit extra. This is funny. Me saying this, by the way, doing a little bit extra to make sure that doesn't happen.
Because you experience the possibility of the inconvenience of far away from home.
Right. And that almost scared
you to, like, be prepared. Oh, yeah. You're like, I don't want to be stuck in Texas or North Carolina. But also, when they build these trailers, they build them with the cheapest, most sketchiest things. Like, they're just trying to get them out the door.
I don't think the guy's still around, but the same guy who built the club enclosed built my trailer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was trying to Google that trailer company.
Do you remember the name?
AZ Tex.
AZ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. AZ Tech.
Tech or Tex?
T-E-K, I think.
Okay, Tech. Yeah, there you go. And I was trying to Google it, and I found an old forum post about people just being like, this trailer is a piece of crap. Da, 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 da. But then there was people on there, they're like, yeah, like, the biggest problem with those trailers is, like, even on this one, they use really thin, like, half-inch by half-inch or one-by-one square tubing, and they run all the wires through that. But they don't deburr the edges of it. So the wires
so it just rubs through.
Yep, and then the electric goes to shit.
Wow.
So, and then they use cheap tires. They use cheap.
Do you think that guy's still around?
No, that company's.
Do you think that guy? No, well, let me rephrase that question. Do you think that guy's listening right now? Because that guy was a mini trucker.
He was from Spectrum.
He was from Spectrum.
Yeah.
And to be fair, when I bought my trailer, it cost me $2,200.
That's the thing, right?
So, you know,
like, you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But even when you go buy a nice big trailer, like a nice expensive trailer,
mm-hmm.
it's under the same stuff underneath it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it would be, they were, we had a 32-foot Carson which was a real nice trailer, but it was just so big. Not a lot of people could tow with it, and it was kind of useless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we sold that, and then we bought the 24-foot trailer, this one, and we bought two car hauler trailers, mm-hmm. all from the same company.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the two car hauler trailers were identical, except there was angle iron different ways on the loading deck. So, like, mm-hmm. on the trailer that NorCal housed, the angle iron is like this. Mm-hmm. So if you lay a truck out, you're laying it on top of the angle iron.
Oh wow!
Like the two support, the two supports that run through the center.
Right.
Yeah.
No, the trailer you have is the same way. It's
the trailer I have like is this. Like this though.
Oh, you were saying. It was like an L.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pain.
The one I have is like this. So it's a little lower. It's not as high. It's not as like a doom. You know what I mean? Like this is like this.
That's hilarious. That's funny. But you know, Big trailers. My family has a 32-foot enclosed, and it's like when my pops bought it, it was a really nice one. It had 8-foot ceilings in it, diamond plate floor. It had the track system. We used it maybe 2 or 3 times because it's just too freaking big. It's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, it is too much. And like this one is just it's perfect. This one. I've been inside it a lot the last 2 days.
You've gotten really intimate with it.
I only cut one piece of wood. Wrong too.
Also, oh, really? I was going to ask you about
that. Granted, I've never used a saw,
like a circular saw.
I went and bought one, mm-hmm. all this stuff, and I'm out went there to using town. A tape measure. My Dylan from iCandy that works at iCandy Paintworks, mm-hmm. he lives around the corner. He's the one that took the Tacoma home that day,
right?
And he's a woodworker by trade. He makes all these wooden benches, so his garage is decked out in all these wood tools. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I'll help you this weekend. Just let me know." And like, I was like, I don't want to wait till this weekend. So I just started doing it myself.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's I only fell through the deck one time.
What do you mean? When there was nothing there, you walked and fell through?
Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing there. So you're walking on these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I put all the plywood down, just like laid it down, but not like it's supposed to, because there's the fender wells. Like you can't. So I started at the front of the trailer with the first piece, got it on, second piece, third piece. When I was doing the second to the last piece, I had the wood up and I was moving it, and I stepped mm-hmm. back and missed the thing completely.
Oh my God.
And just fell to the ground with the wood on me like this. And so now I'm sitting on the trailer deck with the wood like this. And I'm just like, that could have been real bad.
Yeah.
Because if I got caught in between the axle right there too.
Ooh, yeah. Ugh. Yeah, no. Hey. Yeah. You survived. Yeah. Did you when you fixed it to the beams? Did you like pilot drill them first and then put the screws through?
No, They just went right through
with self tappers.
That's how thin the metal is on the metal going across.
Wow.
I mean, they don't go in like super easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it takes like some force and a second, mm-hmm. and then they go in. Mm. So.
I see.
Yeah, they don't go in like butter. That's for sure.
So you're gonna add trailer repairman to your resume.
Yeah. Now I'm a landscaper.
Oh yeah, that's right, landscaper. Yep.
Did the backyard
trailer repairman.
Now trailer repairman.
Yeah.
So now I got And
that's cool. Yeah. The thing about that trailer in particular is it kind of creates an optical illusion because it's a 3-axle trailer.
Yeah.
I never, like you see, you keep saying 24, and I imagine that thing being 32 mm-hmm. because it just looks big.
Yeah.
But then when you hook it to your truck, you're like, oh, wait, that's not that big at all.
I thought it was a 28 for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh, it's because we had a 32 mm-hmm. triple axle and it was huge.
Right.
And then this one, I was like, oh, yeah, it's a 28 probably. I just never measured it. And when I finally measured it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's 24. It's got 3 axles on it because it's 3 3,500-pound axles.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was 2 5,500-pound axles.
Right. Well, would save money on tires.
Yeah, save money on tires. It's just, yeah. You know, I remember when we bought it. I don't know why they made it a 3-axle trailer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Even the trailer guy that had fixed all the brakes and all that stuff last year, mm-hmm. he was like, that suspension system on there doesn't really even work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, it's like some old Weekend Warrior, remember that company?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got sued for this problem. Like, they were using the same type of suspension.
Is it not leaf suspension?
No, it's leaf suspension. But oh, it's like it like the center rocks.
Oh yeah, it's like a float. Yeah, it's like a floating.
Yeah,
it moves. Yeah, yeah. I have trailers like that too.
So,
speaking about leaf springs and stuff, you fix the leaf springs on the Titan, and now.
Oh yeah, it's like a dream. That a long time, a long time ago. Like just didn't realize over time how bad, how saggy the leaf springs on the Titan were, and so I had the leaf springs rearched. They put an add a leaf in. And I hooked the trailer up, and it's like it's not there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, before, we would put your trailer on the Titan, and it would, I would need to put air in the airbags, and that that shouldn't be the case.
Right.
And I found that out when there was no trailer hooked up to it, and I was driving down a dirt road, and it was bottoming out. And I was like, no, this is not good.
It looks good, too. It's, like, sitting a little higher now.
Yeah. It'll settle a little bit, but it looks really nice now.
Yeah, with it all, like, you know, new suspension and white and the big trailer, it looks tough.
Now the motor's going to blow.
Finally.
Yeah, everything's new on it.
Thanks for all this work.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of funny.
It would, well, no, actually.
Not funny, but a little bit.
It would be expected at this point.
You wouldn't be mad at it.
I wouldn't be mad at it. I think it just turned 366,000.
Damn. That's cool.
And that's dumb enough to get in that thing and drive it to North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we're in it to win it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We're in it to win it.
Yeah.
But one question, and this is like some behind the scenes thing. Are we going to try to do two episodes today?
So I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't know if I have enough to talk about to do two episodes today. And it might get a little real boring, but
okay.
I was thinking that. We're going to be home the Sunday after Forbidden.
Do you want to? Well, I mean, we can.
I'm down. I'm not going to do anything. I'll be home probably around around two or three.
I'll be about the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm down to do just an evening episode and just recap the show and.
Okay.
And throw it up.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah. Yeah. Because Sunday, you know, to kind of go over, because people are listening Monday, the show's this weekend, to kind of go over the scheduling of things. Friday is rolling.
Yep.
Saturday's the show. Awards is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, just pack your stuff up and head home.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Like, it's definitely nice tearing down from the booth perspective, tearing down the booth, getting all put away, spend Saturday night, have fun, and then just kind of, like, you know, casually get up. And last year, Angie and I stayed for a little bit, and we went down to the pool, and it was me, Angie, and Donald. We were having ice cream. We were just eating ice cream in the jacuzzi. So that was pretty fun. But yeah, so it's just kind of like a casual thing towards the end of the weekend.
Yeah, so Thursday, I want to set the booths up on Thursday night.
That's what I was thinking. Well, yeah, I was thinking Friday morning, but I definitely want to get them done like first thing.
No, I wanted to get them. I want, because I can't, I'm not going to, I don't want to mess around
with anything. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're not going to have, yeah.
And your booth is in the corner. More not in the corner, but, you know, on that side. So like, and then I want to move. I was looking at pictures of last year. I want to move your trailer down a little bit, and then put walls on it. Because remember last year, every picture of my truck last year was like,
yeah, I had all the junk stuff. Not junk, but
so I want to be cognizant about that this year.
Right, right, right.
Because I want cool shots of the truck. And Anyways.
No. That's. I mean, hey, that's what.
And it's but it's nice because you'll just be. We'll just we can wake up Friday and not have to worry about setting the booth up.
I like that idea. Yeah. And now, so they're way behind the scenes. My kid has a practice that Thursday, and Angie wanted to be there for that. So there was a point before we decided we're going to take two cars. She's like, well, how late would you mind leaving? And I was like, I don't want to leave too late. You know, at one point it was like we were going to leave at like 7:30 at night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's too late. You know, we're going back and forth. But then we finally decided on just taking two cars so I can leave Thursday morning.
Oh,
you know?
You should. Yeah, you should. Because I think I'm going to try to be up there around noon.
Thursday?
Yep. So, okay. Yeah, you should get up there. We'll just hang out and just, like, make it a more of, like, a chill setup day and get everything.
I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Because, like, one thing, you know, going back to the, like, kind of, like, more condensed schedule. Because at one point in the beginning of the Avi, it was, like, we were, like, Friday, Saturday, and then we were doing awards on Sunday. So we were even setting up the booths on into Sunday a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And as that, which was cool for, like, selling and stuff, but also kind of, like, Sunday
setting
became
the,
a big.
You mean setting going into Saturday, setting up the booth?
I can't remember. Yeah, maybe.
Well, you said Sunday, so.
You know, no. What I'm saying, we would the show, since the awards were on Sunday, we'd go into Sunday
selling.
And set up the selling. Yes.
Yeah. Not setting up.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Sell. That's yes. Where I got confused. I was like, I don't selling. Know. I was set. Yeah, exactly. And now Friday has turned into basically a show day.
Right.
So like the way that this is going to go, like I already know where Severed Ties is parking. They're moving their whole thing. So we're going to park them on Thursday night. We're going to get them out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way we don't have, they're going to have like 60 vehicles there. So that'll eliminate the need for rolling in 60 vehicles on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But then people just like, they'll roll in and then everyone's just hanging out like it's a show day. So
yeah,
I want the booth open on Friday. You know,
I'm down for that. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the plan.
So it's essentially a 1 day show, but it's still now a 2 day show.
Right.
And then,
what I was saying is essentially like in the beginning, it was almost like a 3 day show.
Yeah.
Cause we were setting up Friday, selling on Friday, selling on Saturday, selling into Sunday and then breaking it down. But then that made Sunday like kind of like a little hectic.
Yeah.
Trying to roll everybody out and break everything down. And that was hectic.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think this is that's the move. And then last year I came in on Friday and I felt behind.
Yeah, you rolled in and right in the mix.
Yeah, right at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you show up back in the day when you would show up to a truck run on Friday at like 10 at night.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's already drunk.
And you're like rushing.
And they're all annoying. Everyone's already drunk and annoying. And
But then you're trying to get drunk too.
I'm just trying to set my tent up. I'm just trying to...
Yeah.
I remember I would roll into something like that and be like, leave me alone for like an hour.
Because
I need to like get acclimated to this. I need to set my thing up because I know once I start going, I'm not going to want to do that later. So I need to get prepared now. And then I was like, then I'll be out there and I'll catch up with you guys.
I was the complete opposite. I was get there. If I got there on a Friday night at a run, I don't care about setting up anything. I want wheels on the ground.
Yeah.
Getting, having fun. But anyway, that's me.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's a good plan. How it's going to be. Yeah. Your truck, you're going to be bringing your truck again.
Yep.
Now running and driving under its own power, which is really fun. Cause last year it debuted the year before that at the third year at, Prim.
Yep.
As just sort of like, a shell of a vehicle? Basically?
Yeah. Yeah. It was that. Cause it didn't have floors. It had one floor, one side of the floor was in.
Right.
And the other side of the floor was just open. It had the wrong bumper on it. You know, all this stuff. It's when I started learning about the different years of bumpers and the differences between Tacomas and 4Runners. And then
it came to the Forbidden Show as more of a complete truck. Still not really a shell, but more of a completed vehicle.
Yeah. All the sheet metal work was done under in the bed. The sheet metal work was done in the cab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now... It's like a running, driving thing.
And now it runs and drives and cruising around. Well, no cruising.
Well, I have some of it apart right now because I have the front bumper off because when we were doing all the work, all the chemicals were just spilling out all over the bumper and stuff.
Oh,
So it was just all stained up. So I'm Scotch-Briting that, getting that all fixed. And then I hit the guy up across the canal here that has all those 4Runners.
Mm-hmm.
And not for right now, but I'm going to get all fat OEM sheet metal from him.
Oh, you're not going to do the aftermarket stuff?
No, because it's just like, I was like, well, so OEM Tacoma stuff is way more sought after than OEM 4Runner.
Well, it
stuff.
Fits better.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean, specifically
Tacoma stuff is harder to get OEM wise than 4Runner.
Why is that?
Because people don't want 4Runners.
Oh, I see.
They want 4-wheel drive 4Runners.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want they don't care about 2-wheel drive 4Runners. And they're not trying to make them like nice like people make Tacomas. They're just
right.
Whatever. So yeah, I'm going to get the OEM hood and OEM fenders and, after Forbidden. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. No, that's cool. Yeah. No, it'll be cool to have your truck there again. What else was I going to say about that particular thing?
Did you tell Angie she has to drive the 4Runner up?
I asked her if she wanted to. She said no. I actually floated the idea, which maybe. I don't know. You know, she might.
You just
got
to pull it out and just leave it right next to the Camry, and then she'll look at it and go, "Hmm,
yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah. See how she? Well, she's going to be listening to this today, so maybe
Angie, bring the 4Runner out. I'm trying to get.
Yeah, why not?
So I have a truck out now, so now everyone has to have a truck too.
You're pushing it. Everybody else.
I told Joey. I said, "Are you bringing your truck?" He's like, "No, I didn't plan on it." I'm like, "Why not?"
Right.
I was like, "Bring it out." And he goes, well, you said at one point in time that it's our show, so it didn't matter if our club vehicles were there. I was like, yeah, but that's changed now. Everything's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a few club vehicles there, one in particular that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is where I feel bad, because these club vehicles are coming from far. Like, Devin's bringing his Mazda from Canada.
Oh, really?
And not just the Canada above, right above us, the east side.
Yeah, he's from like Manitoba or something, right?
Yeah, so he's got a long drive. So he's bringing that. And then the other one you're talking about is not technically coming from far, but he's coming from far.
Right, and
she's
the whole
coming
thing.
From far, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, oh, there's people like in SoCal that aren't bringing their vehicle.
I know, I'm 3 hours away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, but it's hard with the booth, right?
You know what, definitely.
Imagine if you had like a truck that also could tow the trailer.
I know.
Well, and also looked cool. It would like... It would just alleviate this whole thing.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. We're getting there. Yeah. Maybe. Huh? Yeah. What? No.
That would be super sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one step at a time. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll put some more thought into it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that is silly me. The truck runs, drives. I just paid the registration on it. Like, everything's ready to go. So, why not?
What you do is you just strip everything out of your trailer to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then just pull it with the 4Runner.
I've tried that before. It doesn't work very well.
Oh, it will work just fine.
Mm, nah.
It would.
Anyway, think about it,
Angie. You're used to your Titan and stuff towing that trailer. You're not used to something that has less power towing
and and taking like the time, being patient with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd probably be okay if I was very patient.
Dude,
I've
seen those 4Runners tow travel trailers before.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, like with the Titan even towing the big trailer, like loaded down and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't go very fast, but it's still capable of doing it. You just can't go very fast.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about the show is we have questions. We have a lot of questions.
Oh,
actually.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, should we do the dropping in?
Yeah, let's do that. We haven't done that in a while.
All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three.
Drop! And drop.
Dropping in.
Drop in.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
And
drop
for people at home wondering why we 1, 2, 3 this, because we can't hear what's...
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on. Is it over?
It's over, yeah.
All right, cool. Welcome to Dropping In. We haven't done this in a while. But so we have a lot of questions that we have left over from last week. But then I got a new question today that is relevant to our conversation today, which is the Forbidden Fantasy Show. It's a good one. So this person wants to remain anonymous.
Let me see if I can guess who it is by the question.
I don't know. I don't think so. No. I don't even know if you know this person.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, so this person says, I have a hot take question I'd like to ask y'all. Anonymously, if possible. We got you. John Doe. Am I the only person who thinks show shirts need a major shift in artwork? Is anyone else tired of the same old layout? It's almost always two vehicles laid side by side with some variation to the background. I feel like my closet is full of the same shirt, and the last few shows I've been to, I didn't buy the show shirt because of that reason. Your alternate shirt at FFF last year was, in my opinion, the best show shirt, in quotation marks, I've seen in a long time. Simple, clean, and nothing like the others. Are we ready for a reboot? Please be ready for a reboot.
I wonder what this person thinks of the alternate shirt this year.
I think, because it's essentially what they don't like about the other shirts is a bunch of trucks laid out.
Well, it's not two trucks. It's four trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's also not super detailed. It's just like line art, basically.
But I think more specifically what he's talking about is two trucks like this, very detailed. Like the artwork is really, really similar for all the shows. Yeah. And we actually like talked about this in the club text the other day about how, you know, basically to say it, between Rezo and Forbidden Fantasy started that whole look of the show shirt for our scene. I mean, that has existed in Hot Rods and like other scenes and stuff like that. But for the mini truck scene, for mini truck shows, and also to be fair, like Rezo did it, and there were also other River Runs that did it, but they, like an old River Run shirt, if you remember from like the 80s, was very like hand drawn, very cartoony. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Forbidden Fantasy show was the first one to like not like kind of get away from a cartoon to more of an illustration. If I
Yeah,
if so that's correct.
If people pay attention and go back through our artwork, there are so many details within the artwork that are relevant to the time back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always fun, like going over there and planning the shirt out and being like, well, what's happening now? Like, Michael Jackson just died.
Right.
And so let's
put H1N1.
H1N1. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So we've kind of gone away from that just because things in the world have gotten, I think, a little more serious than back then, maybe.
Yeah. True. Because at one point for I think it was the 2009 Forbidden Fantasy show, you had Obama smoking a joint with there was during the economic crash of 2008. And so it was very, if you were to take that now, I think, and inject that into the ether, I think that would upset some people.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like an offended type thing.
It wasn't like.
Well, I'm not saying like even now. Like I'm saying like if we did now, like I'm not really worried about like the offended thing. You know what I mean? It's an entire change in the landscape of everything. You know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
And I think it's me now. I'm older, and I see where things are a little bit more serious, and like I don't think that some things should be joked about sometimes. Mm-hmm. Versus back then when I just didn't even care and then
right.
like, whatever. So now we just kind of, they're just a little different now, but yeah, I think that whoever said that is kind of right, you know, because the reason we put two cars on it is because we use our own club cars.
Right.
And I don't know a lot of people that do that with their shows. Usually they'll put like whoever won best of show last year, or they'll just pick random vehicles out to have them, you know? But I really think the having the one shirt that's the two cars and having fun with the artwork, and then having the other one that we can kind of not do that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. So yeah, this is our second year of having the alternate art. I think it's really cool because it kind of gives you a choice. I do agree with this person that like the I feel like when I wear the alternate art shirt, it's more like an everyday wear. Let me rephrase that. It's like a thing where I can wear it and not feel like I'm wearing a show shirt.
Yeah, I think the show is one of those things where it's like you have the show artwork, and then that show artwork it represents that year of the show, and and you can use it on the awards. You could use it on banners like that. It's more of like that the thing you got because you went to the show that year. But then
yeah, like a souvenir.
A souvenir. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then, but the alternate show shirt, you don't have to do that. You can just,
it's more of, like a branded shirt.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Then that's kind of,
Whoa. Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I just hit the microphone, but, yeah, I think that's the direction that we've kind of gone to. Cause honestly, like Brandon, who owns Fuel Market, and myself, we've kind of learned, we're both are learning in this whole apparel game, you know, with the stuff he does and stuff I do. So it is kind of cool to have these more, I want to almost say grown up t-shirts versus like a cartoony, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
T-shirt. Cause like that, and that's where I feel it is. Cause it's I see where that person's coming from. Yeah. It's kind of cartoony. It's kind of, I don't want to say childish, but
no, I wouldn't say childish either, but it's just, it's a show shirt. Like, I'm trying to figure out how the way to want to say this. It's like when you put on a show shirt, you're basically just saying like telling everybody, hey, I went to this show.
Yeah.
You know, and with the alternate type shirts, it's not like, hey, I went to this show. It's like, oh, that's a cool design.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what it is, more to it. Yeah. And I have another hot take about it. So I think what differentiates our art from a lot of other show art is also the person who draws it and the person who makes it. We've used the same artist for the last 20 something years. Brandon has printed them for the last 20 something years. I think also what happens is, and this is a bigger, I don't want to use the word problem, a bigger thing on the East Coast is because everybody uses Graphic Disorder on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So you have all these shows using Graphic Disorder for their show shirts by the same artist. So that's when they all start looking similar.
Yeah.
But then also you have all these brands who make like shirts who also go to Graphic Disorder, who also use the same artist.
Yep.
So now you have all these show shirts, all these brand shirts, those when they start all looking the same to me. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying that's just an observation. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, no, it's definitely an observation. Even with my artwork, you know, like I did the headlight and the tailgate artwork, mm-hmm. because I want to get away from just using an entire truck,
right?
Full color. You know what I mean? Because that's what everyone else is doing. So when you're walking through, imagine you have all these vendors and you're walking through all these vendors and you've got shirts that say F your mom. And you've got shirts yeah. that say, you know, hate me because you ain't me. And then you mm-hmm. got, you know, you just have all these very similar things. And then, like, you have to make something that people stop and go, that's cool.
Right.
You know, and so with the skeleton type stuff, that's what I noticed is people were that. But then you can't just do them all like that. You have to do mm-hmm. the alternate ones, too. And I think that's, like, where the show shirt comes in. It's, like, the alternate yeah. one. But, yeah, the artist thing, too, is definitely important. Like, trying to find an artist that's different. That doesn't look the same as everybody else. And yeah.
And also it just also could be like a thing where it was like, shows who make the shirts maybe don't put a lot, like it's not that they don't put any thought into it, but it's not like a main thing. So they're so focused on throwing the show, getting yep. the venue, yep. making sure everything is in order, making sure all the registrations are done. So you get to a point where it's like, oh, we need a show shirt. Yeah, take those two trucks, throw it on there.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
And
so that could
like,
also
the shows
be...
In, the shows in Texas, we'll make Texas stuff. So it's like,
right.
the shows in California, we'll make California stuff. And it's like, I've always been, this is, here's the bullet points. Go off these mm-hmm. bullet points. And this year's show shirt with Steve's truck and the Blue Colorado is, I didn't want it to look like last year's show shirt. So
right.
last year's show shirt was very animated, you know, with the characters on it. And it
yeah,
was
it was
colorful.
And,
mm-hmm. and it had two trucks with graphics on it. And this year, mm-hmm. both trucks did not have graphics. So I was like, let's make it very clean looking.
Right.
Not a lot going on. But then yeah. we added the two little characters chilling at the bottom to give it a still like a fun outlook
yeah.
on it. But yeah, I was like.
No, I like that.
Like I want it went, like a playing card. So when you look at a playing card, it's got two faces on it
mm-hmm.
and that. So that's kind of where we went with that.
Yeah, I hope that kind of, you know, kind of gives some insight, maybe some. People who throw shows will listen to that. Maybe some people who throw shows will see what, you know, Forbidden Fantasy is doing with the multiple art. Maybe take a note from that.
Well,
maybe
I think,
not.
I think.
I don't know.
Well, here's the question for you. When was the last time you bought an event t-shirt?
Okay.
Because it's probably the same answer as me.
Yeah. I never buy them.
No. I bought Mini Nats last year, but I bought it afterwards.
Okay.
I bought it when they offered it for sale online. I wasn't going to, I didn't want to stand in the line. I didn't have time to stand in the event line to get it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is I've never seen artwork on a show shirt that made me want to buy it.
Yeah, I agree.
I see the artwork. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like that looks cool. But I've, but this is me too, where I get free t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I make my own t-shirts. So I get them for free. You give me t-shirts. Like, my closet is full of t-shirts, so
yeah.
I don't need a t-shirt. And that's probably the other part of this. If I didn't do that, I would probably buy more event t-shirts.
Yeah. So. The biggest thing for me was over all of the years doing this is they've always been white. And I never wore white t-shirts.
Like, remember when they were all white and now they're all black?
Yeah. Now they're all black and I still don't buy them.
I know. But I think we don't buy them for the same reason.
Yeah.
Because we have our own t-shirt. We're not going to buy the shirt. But then there's the other reason is I've just never seen one where I'm like, I have to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also, to be fair, I'm not a collector of things either.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't collect things. So mm-hmm. I can understand when people collect event t-shirts, like that's their thing.
Yeah.
Then that's totally cool. And
I guess I do collect those because I still like in my shop on the wall, I have hung up from like 08 to about 2012 mm-hmm. up in my shop that I have hanging up for Forbidden shirts. So, and I always end up with them somehow. So, I mean, I guess I do, but I just don't wear them.
If anybody wants. So I bought for some odd reason, and I think I bought this to do this. I have a 2XL tall Dixon Mini Nats flannel.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I just remember going on the website and I thought it was very cool that Mini Nats did that. Because
mm-hmm.
that's something that no one was doing, right? Mm-hmm. Dixon flannels is a thing, whatever. I'm not a flannel person, so I don't do that. But they're very like a hot collectible item that people do.
Right.
And like their designs look really cool. The way they do them and all that. But I was like, oh, I want to get the Mini Nets one because that's like mini truck and this. But they only had the 2XL tall left.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'll just buy that because maybe I'll wear it. Maybe I won't. And I never even took it out of the package. So if anyone's listening and they want a 2XL tall Dixon Mini Nets flannel, it's $500.
I was going to say, what's the cost? No. What are we talking about here?
It's whatever. I forgot what I paid for it, but it's whatever. It's that. Yeah.
And that's one thing like that. That is a, so back to what this person says, you know, kind of maybe do something different outside the box. Like, yeah, like that's what Mini Nats was doing. They did those special edition Dixon ones.
And you know what I do like to get is I bought a Mini Nats hoodie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think hoodies are cool that like I know Brandon's printing some of that alternate artwork on hoodies.
And yeah, that's what I'm going to get.
That would be a sick hoodie. You know what I mean? Right. So like if I saw sick artwork, and it would be on a, I would buy the hoodie before the t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think because even though I have a ton of hoodies now, but, and I don't like hoodie weather is like 2 weeks here.
Yeah, no, it's over. I saw the weather for next week and where you're at. I'm like, oh geez.
It's in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It might kiss 100.
I know.
It's May or it's March. But anyway, but also back to the show. I was checking out the weather for the show. That's going to be beautiful.
What does it say? Like partly cloudy in the 80s or something?
No, 70s. Low 70s. Really?
I thought it said 83 when I saw it last time.
Yeah, that's for Monday through Wednesday. So Monday through Wednesday is going to get kind of spicy. But by the time the show rolls around, dude, it's low 70s.
Really?
It's going to be killer. So good. But anyway, so anonymous person, I hope that helped out a little bit. We got some other ones. You want to keep going here?
Yeah, let's keep going. We're
all right. All right. So these were from last week that we didn't get around to, and now we're getting around to it. We'll just start at the top.
Okay.
We got Built by Budski. Mm-hmm. He's all, what are some of your favorite non-US based automotive YouTube channels?
What did he say again? Sorry.
Sorry. What are some of your favorite non-US based automotive channels?
Oh, non-US based.
Non-US based. I don't know.
Can we put a note in that and get back to you next week?
Yeah, yeah. Let's put a pin in that.
All right, I'm going to put a pin.
Yeah. Non-US based.
Non-US based. Because I have a few. I just can't.
Automotive. They got to be automotive specific.
Okay, non-US based.
Uh-huh.
Automotive. Because I like Dropworks is one that I can think of right now.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to put a pin in that, and I put a note.
Circle back.
And we're going to circle back to that one, because there are things I watch that I just can't think of right now.
Yep. And then our friend Slam from Australia, Insta Slam FFF. Yeah. Slam from Australia. He's all, what does the bag merch trailer, or when does the bagged merch trailer build start? Hey, you were putting floors in it this a couple days ago.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the weather. Yeah. 80 on Friday, Saturday, 79. Partly cloudy both days. 0% chance of rain.
Yeah. Wind, that maybe. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be windy. 15 miles an hour.
So it's always a bit breezy.
It is.
It's always a bit breezy.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
So Slam asked, when does the bag merch trailer start?
As soon as we get a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because like there is like a dream merch trailer that could happen. Where it would be like, because there are trailers that lay flat on the ground, essentially, almost, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, lay flat on the ground, the wall flips down.
Those are so cool. Like when the whole side just
the
like
whole
flips
side
open
flips down and
flip
it becomes down? Like basically the floor.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because it would be the ultimate, we've talked about this, is just having an area where people come in and hang out.
Right.
And it's kind of what we're building now.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my head, I can see it. I don't know if that's ever going to be a reality or not. Like even the trailer that we're doing now or that I'm doing now is like, I don't know if that's going to be like a thing. I don't know. It's not, we're not going to know. We're not going to know what's going to happen until the first time we take this to a show.
Right. Because it's either going to be amazing or
it's either going to be like, well, this is just, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like it. Or we're going to go, this is the way.
Yeah. So I have to find out.
I'm not going to make any predictions at all. I'm just going to keep going on it.
Have you seen those? I don't even know if these are real. It might be AI. It might be a concept or whatever. Or maybe I'm making it up entirely. But the F1 trailers that are double stacked, but then they have slide outs and then they turn into like lounges and like, have you seen those?
Uh-uh.
Let me, I saw it once a long time ago. I'll try to dig up a photo and send it to you. But yeah, it was like, it was a double decker trailer. The top was like a lounge.
Like
the
bottom was like a big rig trailer.
Like a big rig. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking like semi truck. And the top was like a lounge. And then the bottom was like the garage. But then the lounge on top had pop outs and then things that came down.
Imagine having something super extravagant and then you only sell like 5 t-shirts out of it.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. 2 things. Yeah. Yes, that's the one thing. And then 2, so you have this giant, extravagant, huge trailer. And then you go to a show like Mini Nats where the vendor area is big, but it's not that big. And then you roll up and they're like, hey, guys.
Yeah, but I look at like Seth's booth. Seth's booth was a trailer and then 2 deep easy
10x20s. So 4 10x20s.
Yeah, so it could easily be done with that trailer and then mm-hmm. a 10x20s in front of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I think when I think about like shows where the trailer would actually where a trailer would be inconvenient would be like Intervention.
Yeah. Yes.
It would be inconvenient.
It wouldn't work.
But it would work. It would be inconvenient, but also convenient. Because remember last year we pulled up, unloaded everything, and then had to move?
Yeah, that's true.
This time we would just pull up with the trailer, unhook it, and be done.
Because it is essentially taking up the same amount of
It's taking up 4 space. More feet.
Right.
Or no, it's taking up 8 more feet because it's a 20. It's 4 feet and then another 4 mm-hmm. feet for the 4 or 5-ish for the tongue. But then I'm like thinking of Mini Truck Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just...
Well, you would just need different booths for different scenarios, really.
Yeah, which, this is just giving us that option.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I'm even, like, to go back to the little thing we were alluding to, you know, even having a thing where you could throw a 10x10 booth in the bed of it.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's
one version. Like, you don't need this huge version every single time.
No.
You don't even need to bring 9 designs.
No.
You know, have a 10x10 with, like, 3 or 4 designs in it.
Well, I was thinking of, you know, because I just released the Mini Truck Showcase video. We didn't even
talk that's
about
right.
That.
We didn't even talk God. About that. Jeez.
Anyways, I was thinking about that show, and I'm like, next year for that show, if we set up one 10x20 outside.
Mm-hmm.
It would work for both of our things. We don't need to bring everything. We said like we went way overboard with that show.
Yeah,
you know,
and like to talk about that show in particular. Like after that, we realized like it'd probably be a better fit for us outside too.
Yeah, better fit for us,
and that gives up people more room inside for Vic to put more vehicles.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it would be. It's nice to have different options where you can have a 10x10 booth where mm-hmm. you just. Like even in my Tacoma, if I just want to go to a local show, throw a 10x10.
That's what I'm saying.
3 tubs of t-shirts, mm-hmm. you know, and a table. I could fit that in the bed of that truck. So like,
yeah.
And then go. And then you have the 10x20 booth. And then we have the 2 10x20 booths. And then we have mm-hmm. a trailer booth. And then a trailer with 2 10x20 booths. Like,
yeah. Just kind of like adapting to different situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
This is from Oro C10 Club. When is Oro's Forbidden Fantasy show? Because apparently, and I made the same mistake because I said, hey, thanks, Oro, for throwing the reunion.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it.
In our brains, every C10 show is just Oro.
Right? That's what it is.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. We only associate C10s with Oro and Ronnie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we never thank Ronnie. We just thank Oro.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Bacon. Bacon asks us, let's see if you could get this one.
Okay.
What did Wu-Tang tell us to protect?
The kids.
Your neck.
See, I'm not a Wu-Tang guy, so I don't know.
No, Wu-Tang is for the children.
Okay.
Wu-Tang is for the children, but they told us to protect our neck.
Okay.
That's what I tell my kids too all the time. Anyway, this person says, NR_bear_AZ. He says, any new shirt designs for FFF? Yep. We got some new shirts.
You have some new ones.
You do too. You have your Toyota one.
That's not, well, it's new, but I've already had it at a couple of shows.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
You didn't have it last year. That's considered
new. Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. If we're going last year, I got all new. I got like 6 of
them. Yeah. Yeah. They're all new ones. Yeah. So, swing by the booth. Yeah. Anybody, come to the booth this weekend. Say what's up. Pick up some merch.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that.
I've got Panda.
You won't see you. You'll be out doing show things.
No, Saturday you'll see me. Saturday about 10, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
And that's, it's handoff time to Glenn and Steve and all those guys. Once the once the cars are parked and everybody's in, I'm done.
All right.
Yeah. Sophia and Roulette's got the DJ. Sophia's got the raffle. I'm just there to make sure everyone's happy.
Oh, also the raffle.
The raffle is going to be
the
crazy.
Raffle for the, it's going to be great.
It's going to be psychotic.
Yeah. I mean, it was good last year.
We have nine dual packs to give away.
That's awesome.
We had 10. One fell on the red truck. No, just kidding. I'm going to buy another one. It was funny because I still had to get a dual pack for the Toyota. And I was like, I don't want to stop at Switch. So I just grabbed one off the shelf in the garage. And I was like, this will be fine.
This will work. But yeah, the raffle's going to be great. So make sure at the show this weekend, you go get your raffle tickets. And there's dual packs. There's tools. There's tons of stereo equipment from Allen Ed's. Big thanks to Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one thing to say real quick. I had some in my notes here. Donald LeBlanc has a coloring book on Amazon.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Donald's always Roulette sent that to me and I was like, "Man, Donald's always got something going on."
You know what, Donald, I know he's listening to this. Mm-hmm. You still never sent me an invoice for all the keychains and the club keychains, I think. And he made me some like Halloween stuff for
decorations
and stuff. And like last year, that was
a couple of years ago.
He's like, "Hey man, you never paid me for those." I'm like, "You never sent me an invoice." I'm not going to just guess.
Yeah.
So if you're listening,
he's got a mini truck coloring book.
Yeah.
On Amazon. I think it's only like $10, something like that.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Yep.
Yeah, go check that out. Bacon says, "What show will the full lift and Bezos be parked next to each other at?" So he's referring to the 4Runner in your truck.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
That is a really good question.
Yeah, it'll happen though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We have a lot of like...
Oh, probably like unfinished business?
Well, no.
Or you're not going to that one, huh?
No, that's my anniversary weekend, I think, again.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I don't know. I'll be on my way to Hawaii.
Okay.
Because it's later in June, right?
No.
Or is it July?
It's in June.
It's in June. I'm all over the place.
Here's the thing. You said you can't go to Slowdown because of Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. Okay, Yeah. Slowdown. So, yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah. That'd be probably at unfinished business. I'm sure there's something going on that I'm not going to be able to make it.
No excuses, Frank. It's a local show. We got to go.
I know. Also Bacon, he comes through with the questions.
Oh yeah.
And then we'll do this last one and then we'll jump over. Because this is funny. Cause Bacon asks, how giddy was Brian when he parked his truck at the show? We talked about it last week. No reaction.
None.
Just nothing.
I'm editing the video right now. My reunion / whatever, driving the Tacoma video.
Yeah.
And, I used my phone to record myself driving the truck.
Uh huh.
And I'm just like,
Stoned.
Yeah.
Not stoned, but stoned face.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be, you will see my reaction of a genuine fun reaction when I drive that truck, when the interior is 100% completed and it sounds like it did before I took everything apart. That's
right
where I'm going to be happy. Cause that was my happy point. You know what I mean? My happy point is when everything's in its place and it's all working.
Yeah. No. And that's exactly what it is. Cause even you driving your truck in that moment for the first time, there was still, like you said, you were just like driving it. Things are rattling, you know, it's you're not in that zone yet.
And I also don't show that on camera. Like, so when Tanner sent me the video of the door chime, when you put the key in it and it was the door chime, I was so happy. I was like, oh, there's power to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like when it was running, like, I was like, there's no, like these big feats, you know, like when Panda, when it was all together and like I showed up and it's just laid out in Panda's shop and it's just so the next big thing is going to be when the interior is all in it and everything's, all the buttons are working and things aren't falling off and stuff.
And actually, if you go back and watch the Tacoma videos when all that stuff is happening, you can see it in your demeanor that you're stoked.
Yeah.
You just show it differently. You're not like, you don't get giddy.
No.
You just, but you could tell.
It's also spending a lot of money makes my emotion kind of go backwards.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, next one we got Country Graphics. He says, you guys ever come to Canada for shows? We used to all the time.
What shows? Because I want to go back to Canada and bring the Tacoma when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. And all of our members are in Alberta, right? So they're Calgary, Red Deer area.
Mm-hmm.
What show would be worth, and I say this because it is a long drive, it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Can't necessarily take the booth up there, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, we can take a little bit up there or like get away with a little bit, but like, what event would be worth bringing the Tacoma to, coming up there, and then getting the club up there to like also come,
right? You know, well, like, and that's why we used to go to Canada a lot, because that's why it was worth it, because the club would throw a show.
Yeah,
we would go up there, and all of the Canadian people would be there, and it would be, it was for a few years, it was a thing for like U.S. members to go there. That was like an accomplishment.
Yeah,
as a U.S. member to go there and hang out at the show.
Yep.
You know, and then when they stopped doing the show, there, that reason kind of like went away.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, so when you say worth it, that's what you mean.
That's
you
what know? I mean. Yeah, I want to
is
hang
the
out
experience
with...
worth it? Not the quality of the show necessarily.
Yeah, I don't care if the show's in a parking lot. Whatever.
That's what
I
I'm saying. You want the experience
that everybody's there.
Yes, the experience is worth it.
Yeah.
So yeah. So hopefully, well, maybe, you know what, Rich, get off your freaking butt.
And Rich is a busy man.
I know. I'm just kidding.
And in fact, I'd rather it not be a club show, because then.
That's true.
You know.
Well, okay. Well, let me rephrase this. The Canadians, get your crap together and say you're all going to a show and make it a thing.
Or someone else in Canada. I know, like the draw. JD, those guys, they throw a show in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I don't know how long they're going to be throwing that show for. I don't know any of the details on it. Okay. So,
yeah, I'm just giving everybody a little crap.
Yeah,
but it's fine. Let's see. I don't know. Oh, that's my kid outside. I'm making her do chores today.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Well, I make them do chores all the time, but never mind. They're doing extra chores today. They got in trouble.
Busted.
Busted. So K-Faring, Kenny,
yep.
asks, you get to go back in time to one mini truck show. Which one do you pick?
Damn, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
One that we've been to, or that, one that...
That's literally the next thing I was going to say out of my mind. One that I've been to, or one that I haven't been to.
Yeah.
For me, one that I've been to that I had so much fun at that I wish I could go back and relive it is a West Coast River Run.
Yeah.
West Coast Nationals River Run.
Yeah.
One that I wish I can go back to that I never went to that I could experience was a late 90s River Run.
Yeah, so I got to experience those.
Right.
Those, they were fun, and I would love to go back to one. You know, and experience it again, because, you know, just knowing everything now and all this stuff, just going back. But I think one that I never attended that I would want to go back to would maybe be like an indie truck bash or something on the East Coast. That mm-hmm. one of the ones that like set things off back there.
Yeah.
Like, just because out here, they're all, you know, I went to all that stuff. They're very similar in experience.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it would be something like that.
Well, I only say the late 90s River Runs because I came into the scene, you know, in the early 2000s, and all the old heads would just, and it's the same thing as always, like, oh yeah, talking about the old times, they were so great. But listening to those guys talk about it, I wish I would have experienced it.
Yeah,
so.
And you kind of did. I mean, an early Coast Nationals, you went to Parker, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you went to Parker and you for West Coast, it was very similar to the late 90s River Run.
Right. I'm just talking about more of the wild, wild, wild stuff that happened.
Oh, before
phone cell cameras. Phones. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that would have been, I would like to experience that. Okay. Nissan sent underscore nissan.central.official.
Yep.
That's our homie from AZ. Will you two ever host a show here in AZ? I'd love to hit up the one in Nevada. Always falls on an outage. I think because that's like he's talking about his job.
Our show is a stone's throw away from Arizona.
It
is on the corner of Nevada, Arizona, and California. Like, you could literally walk to California from our show. If you walk through the desert right there, you're going to hit California.
Right.
And if you went across the bridge, you're in Arizona. So we technically do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
but not in the greater Phoenix area. No.
Right. I think that's what more specifically he's saying, and probably not. I don't think Forbidden Fantasy is interested in throwing
anything
multiple
else.
Shows.
No, yeah. No, this is it.
Just that.
Just this
just
one.
That. So just make it work, man. Tell your work, you know what? I'm out of here.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Just
because you might get fired. Just
quit.
Let's see. Oh, this guy. This is a great question from Cash__the_welder. He's all, do you guys still have that banner with the alien and mini truck? Yes, I do. Just go to www.livelifecustom.com and you can purchase one right there.
Yeah.
Free shipping.
There you go.
So do that, Mr. Cash the Welder. We're winding down here with our buddy Tyler from Canada. How much merch do we need to buy to win a drop choice trophy? A lot. Heart palms could be easily greased.
Yeah. Actually, we could just have Doug make another one and just give it to you if you spend whatever you spend plus the drop, the cost
there
of the
go.
Trophy.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming down for the show.
Yep.
And he asked me about Del Taco because I guess I think he's flying to LA and driving up. I don't know what his situation is, but he asked me about Del Taco and my order there and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I love talking about Del Taco and In-N-Out and California fast food in general. So
yeah.
Anyway,
speaking of drop choice awards,
yeah,
we're going to have one at Mini Nats and it's going to be a custom painted skateboard by Daniel Smith.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I sent
him. Thanks, Daniel. That's awesome.
He's doing it because he kind of slacked a little bit last year. So last year I sent him a skateboard for a Grindr TV choice and he just didn't have time to paint it, which is, I got it to him too late and all that stuff. And then, so he texted me yesterday, he goes, hey, I have a skateboard here. Was I supposed to do something with that? And I'm like, I don't know. Whatever you want to do. And he's like, well, we could do something at Mini Nats.
And yeah.
I was like, you going? He's like, yeah, I'll be there all week. And I was like, perfect. So we're going to have him on the podcast.
Nice.
And he'll bring the drop choice board to the podcast.
Heck yeah.
And then we can talk about it on there. And then we'll give it to someone at Mini Nats.
Well, since we're on the subject. And I have them right here. We're also going to be giving these away at Mini Nats.
Oh,
yeah. Did you forget about these?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did forget about those.
I got that one and I got this one. So our friend Doug. Oh, shit. Almost fucking
broke. Oh, jeez.
Sorry. Our friend Doug.
I forgot he made those.
Yeah. So he made them. So hold on. Our friend Doug at Creative House, who does a lot of awards and he's done all the drop choice trophies. He also made us these Grindr TV and Custom Life Choice awards. But he gave them to us at a time when there wasn't a lot of shows going on.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? Let's just hold on to those things. And then at Mini Nats.
So at Mini Nats, we're going to be giving awards out. So
dude.
It's going to be whatever I like, whatever you like. And then we're going to have to pick a different one that
we
both agree on.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's fun because we either both really like something or I'll say, I really like that. And you're like, yeah, I don't know, man. And then you'll be like, I really like that. I don't know. So yeah, that'd be fun.
New Silverado's a Cadillac front ends.
No, yeah, terrible.
I'm 100% going to pick one of those.
No. God, that's the worst conversion.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. So we got these. So hold on. I'm going to be very careful putting these back.
It would be you. It would. You can't hear me right now.
Hold on.
All right. Frank is fumbling around.
On the way down, I snagged all my headphones.
I know.
Too,
I said so. It would be you that breaks the awards.
Well, I mean, the one of the very first trips we took with
that's
Doug.
That's why I said that.
I broke some awards. We made it all the way there, too. We were there.
We were in the hotel.
Yeah.
And you stepped on one.
And it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, and well. Doug. After Doug's trailer was destroyed, I don't think he cared at that point.
No,
but
a little more upset at me.
Well, all right. Let's see. Oh, let's finish it off with this one. Because speaking of awards and drop awards and giving stuff away, this is Juicy Details AZ, who owned the standard cab we gave the last drop award to.
Oh, sick, yeah.
Yeah. He just asked, how's the taco running?
I went out in the garage the other day, turned the key, and started it up.
Nice.
So it's nice that I can just do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One, because I can't get to the, we have to redesign where I put the battery.
I was going to,
because
ask you about that.
We didn't really pre-plan that out very well. It basically literally needs just to be either, flipped upside down or on its side, or we just need to be able to remove it.
So you can slide the battery
down. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the other scenario for that.
Yeah.
Truck's laid out, battery's dead.
Oh, that's easy. You could just, on the alternator, you can just put, a trickle charger on the alternator.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That solves that problem.
The truck that I'm more worried about when the battery dies is the Titan.
Mm. Why?
Which it did die the other day. I was getting gas and I jumped in the truck and I went to start it and it was, and it was dead. And I just, the battery cable had like come loose a little bit. So I just, and it started right up. Because a long time ago when I put, the new door on that truck, the new driver's door on that truck, I had broke the little clip that goes from the key lock, the outside key lock to the mechanism to unlock the door.
I know.
So the rod is not there. So the only way to unlock that truck is with the fob. If that and if battery dies battery. And you put a key in there and you turn it, nothing will happen.
Wow. Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah.
And so, you can't open the hood because the hood latches inside the truck. You can't open the
hood because the hood latches in there. So I'm just like, I just need to, get another door key mechanism for that and fix it. Yeah, that's an issue.
That is an issue. Well, all right. Well, that was a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we went
and then
hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then next week will be the post-FFF wrap-up.
Yeah.
And hopefully that goes well because we know we have a track record of doing stuff right after shows. But then again, those shows are like long travel shows and exhausting. It'll be chill. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So if anyone has any questions, like if you went to the show, if you didn't go to the show, and if you have any questions about the show,
they wouldn't know to answer. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they would have to put those questions in Sunday
morning.
Yeah, get them in.
Yeah, so if you went to the show and you have questions about the show, send them to the Drop Instagram on Sunday morning. Either tell us that you had an amazing time, tell us it sucked, tell us what we could do better, tell us anything that you like. If you didn't like the food in the restaurant, that's it.
All right, cool. LiveLifeCustom.com, Grinder-TV.com. Yeah. And also, we have our, I thought about this the other day, we have our title at the top of every episode, which is from Switch Suspension, but we just want to thank Switch Suspension for always helping us out.
Yeah. And if you haven't, go subscribe to their newsletter because they have a newsletter that literally comes out every week and you can get deals.
Yeah, they got that going on. Yep. Go watch their videos.
Yep.
J. Cole is freaking killing it on their videos. They have a big announcement coming soon. So keep your eyes peeled or ears peeled for that.
Oh, and if you're going to be at the Forbidden Fantasy show, we have a big announcement too.
That's right.
It's a very similar announcement that the Switch one. So,
and I think it's about the same time. So maybe next Sunday we'll be talking about the big announcements.
We will be talking about it for sure.
Okay.
I'm really excited.
So tune into those. All right. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.